A good morning to everyone, and I hope that you have been blessed so far. Have you been blessed? Okay, welcome once again to our relationship month. That's what we want to be doing in the month of August. I don't think August will be enough, but we'll do our very best. So the session was kicked off by Pastor Daramola last week. Actually by Mayo Wafashola when he, you know, spoke during the bus session about being single, courtship, marriage, parenting. He asked some very pertinent questions, you know, giving us a lot of food for thought. And Pastor Daramola also spoke to us about communicating effectively in relationship. Effective communication in relationship. He told us the do's and the don'ts. And I want to believe that we have been able to make use of some of the tips that were contained that we were ministered to last week. So today I am progressing the conversation with a session titled, What Got You Here? What Got You There Can't Keep You There. I already said that it's relationship week, relationship month. So we know that what we are talking about is what got you into the relationship. Brother Lokulo Shodipe has further added another building block to this structure that we are trying to construct by telling us that knowledge is key for any relationship, whether it's with your job or with the next person. You need to know what to do, what to say, when to say it, how to say it. So today, what got you there can't keep you there. For sure you know that I'm talking about relationship. Now, we're at various stages of relationships. Some are at the contemplation stage. They're about to take the step to saying yes to a relationship. Some are already in a relationship. And maybe a lot of the questions that Maya asked last week, you know, just playing around their mind. Will this relationship last? Is love enough? Am I compatible? Will we be compatible forever? And things like that. And then he also mentioned parenting last week. You know, so some of us are already in relationships and we are parents. We are already married. But some of those questions too, it still doesn't mean that they're not beneficial to us. And if you feel that you are not in these categories, you know somebody that is about to step into a relationship. So you can take these words of advice to them. So, courtship. He mentioned courtship last week. Marriage. That's part of what we are going to be talking about today. So, my question to everybody here is, what got you here? I want us to open to Genesis chapter 2, verses 23 and 24, and let's read. Let's read it together. Please project NKJV. Genesis chapter 2, verses 23 and 24. Let's project NKJV. Okay, so who has it there? Let's read. Can somebody read it out for us? Okay, it's there. Good. And Adam said, and the flesh of my flesh. Good. Thank you. Verse 24 now. Thank you. Some other translations say, for this reason. So my question to you today is, what is your reason for being in contemplation, for being in a relationship, for being in a marriage? What is your reason? You know, most times when this question is asked, there are many reasons that come up. Some honest people may say that it's because of loneliness. Some may say it's because of desperation. Some may say it's because of culture and tradition. Some may say that it's the next thing to do. But many people would say love. Many people would say love. Love is the most common reason that is cited when they are asked, what got you here? Why are you in a relationship? But not what God said. and note what man is saying. Man is saying love. Okay? And what exactly do we mean by this love? What exactly do we mean by love? Is it a warm, fuzzy feeling? Is it excitement when the person calls you? Is it maybe your heart skipping beats, you know, having palpitations and those kind of things? What exactly do we mean by love? Is it, you know, like your butterflies, you know, beating around in your stomach? What it means to you is different from what it means to the next person. That's what research has shown. And research has also shown that to a man, love means respect. And to a woman, love means be there for me, pay me attention, be nice to me, care for me. That is what men are saying. That is what women are saying. But what is God saying? What is the Almighty saying? He himself is God. Let's move on to 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 7. That is God's prescription on love. That is God's prescription. So we learned about this also a short while ago when there was a ministration in which we learned about it. And we were advised to substitute each attribute of love with our names. Fumi is patient. Fumi is kind. Fumi does not envy. You know, and then you wonder, how many times have you actually been a little bit happy that somebody you love, you know, somebody you love that has offended you, that something negative has befallen them. You're just transiently happy. Sometimes you feel as if God is even fighting for you. And that's the person that you love, how much more the person that you hate. This checklist is actually talking about yourself. You should attain these attributes. These are the attributes. You are not supposed to go out looking for these attributes in the next person. Is he patient? Is he kind? Does he envy? You should be asking yourself that question. Am I patient? Am I kind? Do I rejoice in good? Do I protect? Or you just throw under the bus? You just hold up your hands, just like Adam did in the Garden of Eden. It was the woman that you gave me that did it, blaming the woman and blaming God. In other words, if you had left me alone by myself, gently, this wouldn't have happened. So that was not showing protection, and that's what we're supposed to do in love. So you're supposed to look at yourself against this checklist on a daily basis and grow towards achieving these attributes. But you see, God is so merciful, God is so kind, God is so loving. He knew that his children, that many of them will not wait. Many of them will not wait to get to attain all of these attributes, you know, to find, before they, you know, sign the dotted lines, or before they say, I do, or before they step into that relationship. He now gave another prescription. Proverbs 24, verses 3 to 4. God is the great physician. Always giving prescriptions. This is something else I want us to read together. Proverbs 24, verses 3 to 4. Let's go. By wisdom, a house is built, and through understanding, it is established. And through knowledge, its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. Even though this slide shows a house, we know that this scripture is not talking about a building. It's talking about the Christian family. It's talking about the Christian relationship. Now, what most people would consider to be the most important is missing in this scripture. Can I have an answer from the house? What do you consider? What do you think is missing in this scripture? What do you think is missing? The house is quiet. We read the scripture that by wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Through knowledge its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. We are talking about a Christian home. What word do you expect to be there? Love. A round of applause for Mrs. Odesanya, please. You would expect love to be there, but love is not there. The other thing that isn't there, you don't have affection, you don't have intimacy, you don't have hugs. Those things are not there. And interestingly, I checked many translations. So I want to challenge anybody who has a translation that shows the word love for Proverbs 24, 3 to 4. Love isn't there. Because God knew that it's not going to be enough. Maybe because it's difficult to attain what is in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, but God gave us another prescription. To maintain a happy home, a happy relationship, you know, because it's what you do. If you have an unhappy relationship, it's not likely to translate into a happy home. But you may have a happy courtship, because courtship is dress rehearsal. Everybody is pretending. And not deliberately, but because that's just the way it is. You're so much in love, what you call love, you know. So you may have a happy courtship, but not a happy home. But it's unlikely that you have an unhappy courtship, and then when you get into the house, it now becomes a happy home. So technical team, if you can find any translation that puts love in there, it will be good to see it. There are key words that I want us to take note of, and those are what I've put on that slide. You can even liken relationship to anything that you like, or maybe a car. Liken a relationship to a car. If you wash your car every minute of the day, you wax your car, it's shining, the car is not going to start until you put fuel in the tank. It's not going to start. So it's not what you feel about the car that is going to make it work. It is what you know. It is what you know. Recall Brother Lokulo's short ministration. It is what you know about the car. It is what you do. It's not, you know, what you feel that, oh, it's such a lovely one. Let me wash, let me wax, let me shine. It's not going to move until you put in the fuel that it needs. For whatever relationship you are in now, the fuel that you need to put in that tank is what? Sorry? Did you say love? It's not love. It is not love. The fuel you need to put into the relationship, it's wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Those are the key words inside the scripture that we have just read. Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. That's the fuel that he needs. It's not love. I heard about a saddish story recently. The young lady, you know, called me because I had been always asking, how are you, how are you? Happy relationship, no issues. So naturally, when we speak, I ask about the husband, until she now told me that, Auntie, I've been meaning to tell you. I now thought she wanted to say that we are moving to Canada or we're moving to Australia. She said we are divorced. Divorced when? 2 years ago. 2 years? I've been asking, you've been smiling, you've been saying yes. Well, because it was a happy, even to the girl, she never saw it coming. Just a minor argument, you know, escalated to husband moving to another room for 3 weeks, then pastors got involved, then husband moving out, and it's finalized 2 years now. But by the time she narrated the story, you know, I felt pained, because maybe if she had sought godly counsel, they would have given her wisdom, you know, they would have infused some knowledge, they would have made her to understand that, look, what you need is not all of this Oyibo love that you are doing. What you need is wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Anyway, that is over. But we hope that kind of issue stops in Christendom. And that's part of why we're having this session. Let's look at some statistics. The source is Wilkinson and Fickenbaugh. They are divorce or family attorneys in the U.S. So they've been looking at, you know, I mean, this is what they do. This is their day job. And they say that evangelical Christians, those that go to church, you know, they have a divorce rate of 26%. No, evangelical Christians like you and I, Pentecostal Christians, divorce rate 26%. So they said Catholics, 28% divorce rate. And they said non-Christians, 38%. What's the difference between 26% and 38%? Almost nothing. There's nothing. In other words, a Christian goes into a relationship without the required keys. Without the required fuel for success. And then the outcome is as bad as that of a non-Christian. Now, if you notice in these characteristics, they didn't say falling out of love or intense hatred. Those are not the reasons for divorcing. It's not falling out of love. And some research also shows that maybe 99% of people that are going through divorce are still in love with each other. So why are they divorcing? They just can't understand each other. They can't marry the person that they were in courtship with. Rehearsal, remember? Dress rehearsal. They can't marry that person with the person that they have married, you know? So they love each other, but they can't live with each other. They don't understand each other. They don't just understand what's going on. So before they kill each other, the best thing is to divorce. Then, look at the ones that are highlighted. People argue too much. Why are they arguing? Is it competition? Is it somebody, does somebody have a complex, an inferiority complex or a superiority complex? Are they competing against each other? You know, all of these statistics show that that glue of love is not enough to hold a marriage together. You know, the period of courtship is a hidden period. You know, what you see is just a tip of the iceberg. And like I mentioned earlier, it's not as if anybody is trying to pretend. Most are not trying to pretend. Most things are not hidden deliberately. But because, you know, especially in whirlwind relationships, the time is too short. You just don't talk about such things. So anybody that is in the contemplation stage now, or you're in a relationship, this is time to pick up the mic and make it loud. Don't keep quiet. Ask questions. Seek information. You know, let go of pride. You know, and you know, we find out that when there's so much argument in the family, it's probably a lack of wisdom. There's wisdom, there's knowledge, there's understanding. Something is missing. It's not love. Then look at the other one that I highlighted, married too young. I personally don't think marrying too young is the problem. Depends on what age that is too. I think it's the knowledge that we have about it. What knowledge? You know, everybody, I'm talking about a car again. Everybody learns how to drive, whether formally or informally. Some people will go to driving school. Some people will learn from their uncle, their auntie, the driver. They learn somehow. You just don't jump behind the seat and move the car. Even though some teenagers think they can drive like that and they end up crashing their father's cars, you know, but you should go through it. You usually go through a period of learning. And even legally, you are not supposed to drive until you are 18 with a license. But when it talks about marriage, when we come to marriage, that life-changing, destiny-changing step, people that are 12 years old, 13 years old, they are married off to boys that are 17 or 18, how should those marriages end up? What knowledge can they actually have about the process they're about to step into? Very, very minimal. So it's not the age, it's the knowledge. Look at another one that I highlighted, unrealistic expectations. Now, an unexpressed expectation becomes an unmet expectation. If you don't express it, if you don't say it, there's no way that your spouse, your partner, would know because you haven't said it. They're not mind readers. Stop assuming. There's a popular acronym that says assume, A-S-S-U-M-E, makes an ass of you and me. Don't assume, ask questions. So an unexpressed expectation becomes an unmet one. But an unrealistic expectation shows a total lack of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. What do I mean by that? When we got married, you know, I got married at 25. I was not a young child. But of course, the father that brought me up never ate breakfast. So I just got married thinking that men don't eat breakfast. Did I discuss with my husband-to-be? No. I just assumed that men don't eat breakfast because my father didn't eat breakfast, okay? So when I now got married and he now wanted to eat breakfast, I was like, how, why, what, when, and then, breakfast, how, who's going to cook it, at what time? You know, such a small issue, but it created problems, you know. It created problems. Did I discuss it with him before we got married? The answer is no. The answer is no. You know, so many issues when we first got married. You know, so these days when I attend wedding ceremonies and I see the bride and the groom, you know, during the ceremony, just looking straight ahead. No joking with each other. No sharing private jokes. No leaning close to each other. My heart sinks. You are only just getting married inside white dress and suit. What is wrong with you? You know, but you see, when you see them joking and their faces are relaxed on that day, you know, it gives me a sense of, it doesn't mean there won't be any issues, but at least it gives me a sense of comfort that these ones are friends. And then when you see young couples, intending couples, you ask the man, so what do you do for a living? The man says, I'm managing somewhere. Huh. When you ask the woman, what are you doing? She says that, well, I'm applying, I'm managing. You know, there's nothing clear cut. Whenever people say that they are managing, it means that the take-home pay can't take them home. It will not be long before issues will come. Like I said, we had issues when we got married, but it wasn't, interestingly, it was not because of money. it was because of other things, maybe pride, anger, some other funny things, you know. So, but the main thing was that the keys, the wisdom, the knowledge and understanding was not there. It was totally missing. You know, so, you know, you now begin to wonder, when people want to get married, they go after all sorts of information. Some people go after information, maybe from the wrong sources. A single person or a young couple speaking to a single person. Excuse me, what kind of information, what kind of advice, what kind of counsel will that be? You know, single talking to, I mean, a newly married talking to single, or even vice versa. Or you're taking advice from people that, you know, they're still shaking. You know, so you must seek after the right advice. You must seek after the right people that can talk to you. So like I said, my marriage was fraught with challenges at the initial stage. So at what point did I realize that I needed to reduce the noise level in my marriage? At what point did I realize that my almost 9 years of rehearsal was not enough to stop the argument? At what point did I realize that I needed to stop trying to change my husband, who was a grown man? You know, maybe he was 29 when we got married. Grown man. And I was trying to change him with agility, with force. You know, I was just trying to change him. Possibly I thought I was perfect. Maybe. So at what time, at what point? I really don't know, but I know that it was after a lot of noise. After a lot of noise, after a lot of arguments, after a lot of maybe unprintable things, you know, and, you know, threats from either side. Why did you do this? Why did you do this? It's not your fault. Hey, it's my fault for marrying you. It's not your fault for marrying me. You know, all sorts of funny things. Eventually, I don't know at what point, but I knew that I had a conference with myself. As we say in normal common day parlance, moyara mini brain, look, this is not working. This is not going to cut it. You know, and then I don't know the exact date, whether it was in a church service like this or a program or a sermon, I do not know. But I know that despite it all, you know, I took offense easily. He too had anger issues, you know, sparks in the house. Sometimes the house would be cold, you know, non-verbal and non-verbal arguments. I'm sure you all know verbal arguments. You are talking. Do you know non-verbal arguments? You are keeping malice. The house is cold and silent. Nobody is talking. Days, weeks. Or sometimes the house is hot, you know, and boiling. Everybody is talking at the same time. Nobody wants to back down for the other person. I don't know at what point that I decided that this was not cutting it. But I know that we never left the presence of God. There was never a time that the fight was so much that we now decided that, okay, I tell you, let's see church more. So everybody that is going through stuff, or even if you are not going through anything, you need to stay in church. You need to associate with the right people. You need to get the keys, the wisdom, the knowledge, and the understanding. You need to get it. Where do you get it from? You first of, you know, where do you get those the keys from? You observe with your eyes. You don't walk around with your eyes closed. You must first of all be determined that, look, you know what makes relationships work. You know what you're feeling right now is not going to sustain it because of what people have said and what we are speaking to you about today. You now seek after information in the proper way. You go to the right source. You sit in church. You talk to people. You read books. You read the right kind of books. You know, because when you have information makes you know, it makes you know head knowledge about whatever you are seeking information about, even if it is a relationship with your studies. And then understanding now means comprehension. It is percolating through your system. You need to get taught. If you don't get taught, there's no way you can apply it. And wisdom is the ability to apply whatever knowledge that you have effectively. So my brothers and sisters, what am I saying today? Whatever it is that you are going through, if it's the good, know that it can be better with the application of those three keys. Look at the two scriptures that we've looked at today. There is nowhere that it mentions the word love. Of course, you can't even get there without love. But that love is not going to keep you in there. Because, you know, love is so transient. You know, you need commitment, you need understanding. And seek the right sources. It's not from magazines. You are not going to get that. You are not going to get that information from soft-sell magazines. You are not likely getting it from social media. You know, unless you go to the right site. You know, but you need to also sit with people, talk to people, ask, seek counsel. You know, that's the only way that you can go about it. And I pray that for each and every one of us, even if you are not, like I said, if it's good now, it can be better with the application of those keys. If it's not so good now, try those keys. Wisdom, knowledge. With knowledge, when you begin to learn about your partner, you begin to realize that, okay, people have love languages. What is the love language of this person? What language does he understand? I don't know how many of us know about the 5 love languages. How many of us know about the 5 love languages? Can I see your hands up? Very few people know about the 5 love languages. And actually, they are true. For some people, it is giving them gifts. For some people, it's acts of kindness. For some people, it's words of affirmation. There are about 5. I can't remember the other 2 now. But you need, for some people, when you do things for them, helping hands is also part of it. When you do things for them, they realize, it makes them feel loved. And then for some people, it is touch. But you know, some people, when you touch, they're like, some people don't like it. So you need, so it is knowledge, it's information. When you seek information about the person, you ask questions, you study. You don't talk all the time. You study, you keep quiet to study, and then you ask questions at the right time. You do the right things, you know. You begin to understand that this is what this person understands. I can't imagine my husband buying me flowers. I'm like, flowers. Because it makes no meaning to me. But of course, he understands my love language. And even during the course of the relationship, I also learned, you know, new words. I realized that, because part of what we used to quarrel about was that, why are you talking to me like that? Why are you raising your voice? Why are you shouting? And he'll be like, I'm not shouting. And he's shouting as he's saying, I'm not shouting. So issues will start again. I realized that, okay, that is the tone of his voice is deep. It doesn't mean he's shouting. And even when he seems to be possessive, which was what I thought, he was just showing love. He was just showing care. So I needed to understand his language again. So right now, we're just like, I don't know, we're like a well-oiled machine. There's no noise anymore. But there was noise. So if anybody sees us today after 20 what years now and says that, I want what you have. Have you been through what I went through? Are you ready to pay the price? You must be willing to pay the price. So there's no perfection anywhere. There's no perfect person, no perfect man, no perfect relationship. No perfect situation. Even in the Garden of Eden, that serpent was there. The serpent was there in the Garden of Eden. And he, you know, and we also know how Adam, living in love, you know, through Eve under the bus, is the woman that you gave me. So I want you to quit seeking perfection in your spouse. I want you to take the log in your own eye, take it out first. You know, work on yourself, deal with yourself. Be what the Bible says you should be. Seek for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Apply it to whatever. Even if it's your academics, like Brother Lokulo said, if it's relationship, communicate with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Deal with the person with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And you will see that even if you don't go after love, it naturally comes and it stays. Above all, I want everybody to commit to lifelong learning and lifelong praying. Like I said, if it is good today, it can be better. And if it is not good, it can become good. To the point of being better, best, and even excellent. I want us to rise up now and let's pray. Father, Lord, God Almighty, we know just how important marriage, the institution of marriage, is to you. We know how important relationships are to you. Father, we've come to your feet today, totally emptied of whatever knowledge of whatever it was we were practicing, whether it was cultural, whether it was traditional, whatever. And we've come to imbibe the keys of wisdom, of understanding, and of knowledge, so that our homes will be established, so that whatever it is that we do will be established. Father, Lord, we ask that you give us the grace to drop our pride, the grace to seek after the right information, the grace to sit at your feet, and to learn that which you want us to learn. The grace, Lord, to be that person, that patient, that kind, that person that does not rejoice in evil, the person that perseveres, the person that protects. That is what you want us to be. Father, Lord God, might we pray that you help us to be this and much more in the mighty name of Jesus. We bless you, Lord, and we pray that as we go on in this relationship month, that, Lord, lives will be turned around for the better, that homes will continue to be strengthened, and as new homes are being built, Lord God Almighty, the keys that they need for success, Father, Lord, help them to hold on to it, we pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Blessed be your holy name, O Lord. In Jesus' name we have prayed.